So we'll go back to verse 34 and read translation there. So this is Lord Krishna speaking to Brahma. Now he's speaking to Bali Maharaj. On this planet Sutala, not even the predominating deities of other planets, but to speak of ordinary people, will be able to conquer you. As far as the demons are concerned, if they transgress your rule, my disc will kill them. O great hero, I shall always be with you and give you protection in all respects, along with your associates and paraphernalia. Moreover, you will always be able to see me there. Today's verse. Because there you will see my supreme power, prowess, your materialistic ideas and anxieties that have arisen from your association with demons and danavas will immediately be vanquished. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord assured Bali Maharaj of all protection. And finally, the Lord assured him of protection from the effects of bad association with the demons. Bali Maharaj certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious because of his Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gordetai Ki Jai. Bali Maharaj was certainly became an exalted devotee, but he was somewhat anxious because his association was not purely devotional. The Supreme Personality of Godhead therefore assured him that his demoniac mentality will be annihilated. In other words, by the association of devotees, the demoniac mentality is vanquished. Satam prasangan mamavirya sambido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata. That's from Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-25. When a demon associates with devotees engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he gradually becomes a pure devotee. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 22nd chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders His Life. Om Agyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Padekamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kaupa Tarupischa Kripa Sindhu Bepacha Patitanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namaho Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasiri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Wow, what mercy. How did Bali Maharaj, I might ask this question, how did Bali Maharaj get such personal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's not easy to get the Lord's personal association. It's very difficult. In fact, it's very, very rare that the Lord personally appears to someone in such a way. And he was a demon. He was a demon also. Or at least, he represented that class of people known as the demons. But we might look a little bit into the past, and he had this inclination to honor and respect Vaishnavas and Brahmanas also. That was his, what we say, exemplary quality. He would always give as much charity as possible whenever a great soul would come into assembly. He was very magnanimous, very generous. And in one sense, he followed baby culture. But still, somehow, because he was born in the demon family, he was a demon. We look at him, we might even say, just like Prahlad Maharaj was also born in the same family. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj is his grandfather. That's another good point of his credit, that he had that type of connection with not only a pure devotee, but a Mahabhagavat. So, with all those considerations, you know, Krishna wanted to show him mercy. I mean, Krishna could have came in another form to simply take back the universes. That's not hard for Krishna. He doesn't have to come personally to do that. He can send his representatives. He can also send some material cataclysms to destroy whatever is there and to bring it back in due course of time. And that's usually the way he does things. But in this case, he personally came. Of course, it was on the request of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma. And so to honor that, he personally came. But that was his decision. That was his decision. But he wanted to show this special mercy to his devotee. Bali Maharaj is a Mahajan. Mahajano yena kata sampatta. He knows the science of bhakti. He can teach the science of bhakti. But he's a demon. He falls in the category where we have the example of also, of Vritrasura. Was he actually a demon? He was in a demoniac body and acted in the same way as a demon. But in his heart and mind, he was actually a great soul. So we see in the Bhagavatam, sometimes persons who are in a very demoniac or very marginal position outside of devotional service get special mercy of the Lord. Can't understand that. We might also say, even us who have come to devotional service, what is our qualification? I think it was Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, and he was very incredulous about how is it possible that we Westerners somehow or other, looking at back at our upbringing in the Western society, which was very much focused on material life and sense gratification, somehow it came to a pure devotee and was able to be engaged in pure devotional service. And he posed the question with a consideration by saying, well, you know, it says you have to have sukriti, pious activity, something in the past in order to bring you to this state. Prabhupada responded, I have created your sukriti. I've created your good qualities. So it's actually volumes of mercy coming from the Lord through his pure devotee that we have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Devotional service is a great privilege, and it's very rarely attained. Bali Maharaj received the supreme mercy of the Lord, his darshan. And not only that, the Lord is so pleased with Bali Maharaj's surrender. Bali Maharaj was in a difficult situation. Krishna put him in that situation just to show his glories. When he wanted to give 3 steps of land, the Lord could have took the 3 steps, all the land in 3 steps to make Bali look good. He could have did it that way. But he didn't. He took it in 2 steps. Could have took it in 1 step. But he did it and left 1 step unfulfilled and 1 part of the promise unfulfilled just to give Bali Maharaj a chance to surrender his life in pure devotional service. He wanted to glorify his devotee. He knew the heart of Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj was in a very difficult situation because the Lord chastised him, told him, you know, you're a thief, someone who can't keep a promise. In that section, it says that there's nothing worse than a liar. It says that the earth can bear all kinds of sinful activities except those who lie. It's such a great burden on the earth. How, what we say, devious a lying mentality is. You see, even in today's society, if you do something wrong, and it's obvious you do something wrong, and you admit it, you get mercy. Right? But when if you try to hide it and you lie, how much you get punished more. Right? There was a little incident. One of my disciples, his mother-in-law, she was shoplifting. It's not a very good occupation. But she got caught. And it was obvious she did it. And she lied. And because she lied, she could have got away with, they probably even would have let her go. An old Indian lady who, you know, just acted kind of impetuously. But she lied. And because she lied, she had to go to court and pay a huge fine. Huge fine. They probably would have let her go or gave her a small little token fine. But when you lie, you get such a reaction. So Krishna used Bali to say, hey, you're a liar. You're a thief. You made a promise and now you can't keep it. Doesn't that disturb you sometimes when somebody says they're going to do something and they don't do it? It's better to say you can't do it, right? Be honest. And of course, circumstances sometimes change in our life where we're forced to act differently because of the circumstances. But that's not always the case. But when one says, I will meet you here at this time, and they don't show up. Or, be sure, you know, I'll do what you say, but they don't do it. Oh, that's so disturbing, right? Because you lose trust in the person. And trust is the basis of relationship and friendship. And when that's broken, when trust is broken, friendship is destroyed. So Krishna said that to Bali, you lied. You promised me 3 steps of land. In fact, Bali was thinking when he offered the anything he wanted, he was expecting the Lord to ask for more. But the Lord only asked for 3 steps, and Bali couldn't even do that. And then the Lord put him in a very difficult situation. He called for the ropes of Vasuki, had him tied up, and he was punished like an ordinary criminal. And he was very humiliated by the whole situation. But somehow or other, by his bhakti and by the mercy of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, who appeared on the scene, he understood what to do. That actually the Lord arranged it so he could use his 3rd step to surrender his life to the Lord. And that's what the Lord is looking for. He doesn't care about our material gifts or whatever else we can give him. We use these things as an opportunity to offer them to the Lord in surrender. But surrender is the mood. And surrender is the only mood. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, after he speaks the whole philosophy of Gita, he basically sums it up, surrender. Talking about the various yogas and the various aspects of the material energy and the interrelationship between the Supreme Lord, the living entity, material energy, so many things. And basically he sums it up, now just surrender. And then all this knowledge will come to you by way of the mood of surrender. But surrender is not so easy, is it? It's sometimes we can surrender when it's easy, right? Oh, it's convenient to surrender. When things are going my way and it's just very nice. But sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations and surrender is not so easy. Especially when you do something and people say, oh, you didn't do it right, or they criticize you or not satisfied by what you do. I tried my best. Even though you did your best, still, you're still not, it's not appreciated. So these are actual opportunities to surrender not only the activity, but to surrender our idea that we can surrender something. Because the idea of surrender is a false, but there's nothing to surrender, really. Everything belongs to the Lord anyway. Prabhupada's explaining in one lecture that all you have in your entire existence, as you might think, I have my family, I have my money, I have my possessions, I have my activities, I have my body, I have so many things. But all these things are given to you. And therefore, whatever is given belongs to the giver, not to the person who has it. Although you have it, it's a gift, but it's in one sense, it's coming from another source. But what do you have? What do we have that's ours? One thing, independence. To surrender what belongs to someone else or to try to use it for our own self. Bali Maharaj, he captured the entire material existence in terms of all the supremacy of all the planets. He dethroned Indra. The demons were in power. He was looking good from his point of view, or from the demons' point of view. But in one second, Krishna took it all back and made him look like a fool at the same time. But then Krishna now, or Vamanadeva now, is just... he's so happy with Bali Maharaj. He's so pleased because although it was very difficult for him to do that, he not only did it, but he did it completely. Complete surrender. Therefore, Bali Maharaj is known as one who surrendered everything. That's hard to do, right? We say to Krishna, I'll surrender, but... you know, here's my list of the things you can take. Don't touch this list over here. These other things, you know. These are the ones that maybe later. Maybe. But it's always later. Right now I need to enjoy them a little more and use them. So, but, you know, Bali Maharaj had no choice. Either he was going to look like the worst criminal in the universe for disobeying and lying to the Supreme Lord, or he's going to be glorified as the greatest devotee by surrendering his life. And he did. He got the mercy. He was able to think. Because Krishna says, now you're a thief. He tied him up. Said, you should be punished. But somehow he said, my dear Lord, actually... the third step belongs on my head. And he was happy to do it. But at first he couldn't think of it. It was by the mercy of his grandfather who appeared on the scene. This is the important part here. Prabhupada mentions in the purport how important it is to associate with devotees. And of course we'll just go a little bit farther in the theme here. That being granted the supreme mercy of the Lord and a place for him to reside and the protection of the Lord. The Lord was willing to protect him against his previous activities and mentality. And he told him that if any demons disturb you, I'll come personally and throw my chakra. I'm there as your doorkeeper. I'll open the door for you when you go in and out. How Krishna was pleased. Imagine, you would be embarrassed if Krishna was your doorkeeper, right? He would say, no, no, I can't allow it. You'd go find another door to go out. It's too much. It's too humiliating. But this is what Krishna wanted to do. He wanted to reciprocate the love of his devotees in such a way that he wanted to do personal service. And the Lord also told him that because of your previous association, there's still residues of the demoniac nature. And because of that residue, therefore, I will protect you against that as long as you engage in my devotional service. So, and the association of devotees, as Prabhupada mentions here, can change a demon into a great soul. And there's so many examples of that through devotee association. We have examples of how some of our devotees who had came to Prabhupada were very inimical against the movement before then. Some of them even tried to stop Krishna consciousness by stopping the kirtans in the streets and causing harm to the devotees. But somehow or other, through prasadam, through association, through some hidden sukriti, they became favorable and actually became, what we say, fixed up devotees. So this verse is very fundamental that Prabhupada quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sitam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti ritkarna rasayana katha. That the association of devotees in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is what purifies the heart. That's the fast track. That's what works very quickly to bring our consciousness back to its normal state of pure devotional service. To regularly hear and chant in the association of devotees. This is the essence. Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastri Hoy, Lava Matta, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. The association of great souls cannot be compared. Because in the association of those who hear and chant the Lord's glories, the Lord's personally present. Because he likes that association. He comes personally present in his mercy manifestation to purify the hearts of the devotees who hear and chant his glories. But Bali Maharaj, he had some bad association before. And although, now this is also interesting, although he got the association of the Lord, got the supreme mercy of the Lord, got the favor of the Lord, so many things, it's indicated here he still has some residue of demoniac nature within his character. This is a very interesting point, very important to understand. How we might use the word insidious, negative association can be on a person. I'll give you an example how it works. You may be a devotee, and you may be engaged in devotional service. Somebody says something bad about another devotee, although it's not true. Still, that statement leaves some doubt in your mind about the validity, right? You hear something negative, some criticism or something, and you may also start to, in some subtle way, think there's something true or value in there. That's how bad, that's how subtle association can be. And Prabhupada, actually, in the Harinam Chintamani, Srila Haridas Thakur explains there's three types of association we should avoid very carefully. He says the Mayavadis, the atheists, and the Dharmadwajis. These are the three. The Mayavadis, they appear to worship the Lord by chanting mantras, sometimes even the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And they can speak philosophy very convincingly. But their mood is to kill Krishna or to bring one to the understanding that actually the Supreme Lord is the living entity. And the living entity has simply forgot that. And through all this process of worshiping the manifestations of the forms of the Lord, the names of the Lord, and studying philosophy, one comes to the realization, I'm God. They don't speak that so often, but they actually practice that mood by performing activities. Sometimes you can't even tell until you actually discuss things in detail. Right? It was that example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was traveling from Varanasi to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath Puri. On his way, he met a wonderful Ram Bhakta, who was Ram Das Vishvasu, his name was. He was always chanting Ram's name, constantly. And when he met Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was very inclined to want to do service to him. So he offered to carry his bags and to offer personal association to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami said, oh, this man seems very nice. He's very humble, wants to serve, and he's chanting Ram's name always. So they both traveled. And then they came to Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu was there to greet both of them. They both paid their respects to Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu focused his complete attention on Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Didn't even look at Ram Das Vishvasu. And Ram Das Vishvasu was thinking, he's not even looking at me. And then the Lord could understand his heart, and he looked at him and said, give up this idea of trying to become Ram. Give up this idea of trying to become Ram. Become a devotee of Ram. So he could understand his heart that he was chanting the names of Ram to become Ram. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami didn't even understand that completely until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that. So this is an example how this type of association we can't even see. So one should very carefully avoid Mayavadi association. Or those in the name of devotional activities but are teaching something different. The goal is prema pumartha maha, to love Krishna, to engage in devotional service. The Dharma Dwajis, they're similar. They make a show of devotional service, but they have material motivations. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Their program is to somehow or other present themselves with all the externals and activities of a devotee, but to use devotional service as a means to fulfill material desires. For name, for fame, for prestige, for power, for material gain, for position, like that. So, and Prabhupada talks about it, calls it Kali Chela. Tilak, Kanti, Mala, but chanting, not really chanting Hare Krishna, but it looks like it. I think after some, in the beginning of our movement, we had a few of those. But now I think after time, because of the power of the movement, we don't find that so much now. But still, people might come to spiritual life in order to fulfill material desires. If you come with that intention, that is a way to come, but to try to keep that and fulfill that after being instructed in the process of devotional service and getting the association of devotees, and then that becomes a deviation or anartha, which will lead ultimately to fall down like that. So material desires are one of the reasons why one may come to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, but if one keeps that, then it becomes a block in one's progress in devotional service like that. Initially it's acceptable, but after some time, when one is sufficiently educated or haven't received enough education and training in devotional service, one has to give up that mentality. So Dharma Dwajis, and the last is the atheists, those who are obviously, what we say, very vocal against the Supreme Personality of Godhead's existence and are willing to make propaganda against that. But Haridas Thakur also mentions more subtler times of negative association. He says to associate with the opposite sex for the purpose of enjoying that association for material happiness. That's another type of bad association. And to associate with those who were attached to the opposite sex for the same reason. So he gives a few more. So these are the kind of associations that a devotee wants to carefully avoid. Because devotional association is so powerful that it can bring one sadhu-sangha, sarva-sastri-har, lava-mata, quickly to the platform of purified consciousness. But in the same way, wrong association. Now we might say, well, what do I do? I have a job, I have a family, I have to associate with those who are non-devotees. But association really means affection for. If we develop an affection for non-devotees, then we will become affected by that. Physical proximity doesn't really give the definition of association. You can't avoid physical proximity. You may be in exchange with non-devotees to carry on business or for some occupation, but you don't open your life and heart to the non-devotees. You don't allow them into your confidence and speak about things that are very dear to you, because then you will become, what we say, disappointed, to say the minimum, to say the least. So we carefully, therefore we say, that kind of association can be in order to carry on business, right? Like that. But association means affection for. So, of course, devotee wants to give the non-devotee's association. That means preaching or showing mercy in some way or another. And that we do. But we don't accept their association, because if we do, then we go down. Sometimes devotees will make that mistake and take too much of that association and find themselves in an awkward position. Sometimes when we accept prasadam cooked by non-devotees, out of some, what we say, graciousness or some situation which puts us in that, then the mind will become affected. Therefore, Prabhupada very carefully cautions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, do not, you know, eat food cooked by non-devotees. And in some cases, we even say that we shouldn't even take food from persons who are not following the four regs and chanting 16 rounds. Because the consciousness of the cook goes into the food, especially grains, and one becomes affected by that. And therefore, what is that affection? Then the mind becomes, what we say, deviated away from Krishna and towards material things like that. So Bali Maharaj appears, and this is quite surprising. When I read this, I was actually quite surprised that there was still some residue of demoniac effects of a previous association within Bali. But then the Lord said, if you just engage in my devotion, I will give you all protections. So we seek the protection of the Lord in every and any circumstances. That's the success of a devotee. Whatever we are doing in any aspects of our existence, the mercy of the Lord makes everything. And one has to beg for that mercy. One has to pray for that mercy. Just to simply follow the process is nice. It's important. But one has to open their hearts up to the Lord and the Lord's pure devotion to pray for the strength and for the facility to carry out the Lord's instruction in our devotional service. And that makes the Lord very much inclined to that devotee. The power of prayer is very, when one sincerely prays. But we cannot sincerely pray unless we really understand our position, how, what we say, small we are, and how easy it is to be affected by the material energy. Look what happened to Ajamil. Trained in a Brahminical family, brought up in a nice Brahminical atmosphere and culture. All good qualities, never had any, but simply he simply saw, you know, a licentious activity happening in public between two low-class people. One was a prostitute. His mind became deviated. You're riding in your car and there's one of those billboards and you're thinking, and you realize, what am I looking at? Right? So it's like that, especially, you know, we have to travel, you have to associate with the material energy. One has to keep their consciousness somewhat connected to Krishna, and so we don't become attracted or distracted. We may not become attracted, but become distracted. And distraction, when it's long-term, can lead to attraction. And attraction can lead to reawakening material desires again. Like that. So Bali Maharaj, he's going to eventually become completely purified by the Lord's special mercy and kindness. Okay, any questions, comments?